All right. Let's do this. Let's rock and roll.
Mm.
Let's score more goals than the Flyers have.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
Welcome, everybody! What's going on? Welcome to What the Puck? It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, and now Google Play Music. That's right. We are expanding even farther if we didn't give you enough options on how to listen to us so far. Hope you guys are ready. Hope you got your wristbands on. We gave them out before the show, and hopefully you don't hit us in the face with them. Joining me as always, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
I am certainly doing better than the Flyers fans at the game last night. How you doing?
I think you're doing better than the Flyers. You're doing better than the town of Philadelphia. I think you're doing better than the fans. I think you're doing better than the coaches. I think you're doing better than everybody in Philadelphia right now. Game three, let's talk about it. Caps up, 3-0 now after three. Big old hoopla happened during the third period of the game. Dmitry Orlov.
Wait, what?
A hoopla.
What word did you just use?
A hoopla. It wasn't a hootenanny. It wasn't a shindig. It was a hoopla.
Calm down, JR.
So here we go. We got Dmitry Orlov. He was boarded by a Flyers player. The Flyers player gets ejected. The fans don't like it, and they start throwing commemorative wristbands that lit up that were given out for the Ed Snyder memorial that was happening before the game. And then
that thing was cool looking, by the way.
It was. And so they continue to do it. They cost the team a penalty. The game was over already.
That was the best part.
And let's talk about it. What happened here? I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. It was a complete like embarrassment for the entire city, the organization. And I know fans are going to come back and be like, it wasn't all of us. You know, it was just a few select ones. Well, a few select ones do it at every single game you guys play, whether it be hockey, football, baseball, doesn't really matter, or a wrestling event. It's kind of what Philadelphia is known for, this type of fan, but I kind of feel as if a line was crossed at game three.
Yeah, how do I put this? It was an embarrassment to the upteenth degree to have that kind of behavior happen. Now, I remember perfectly well that when the Caps, I believe, were knocked out of the playoffs by Tampa, I want to say, the fans were throwing stuff on the ice. I understand. It's not like DC sports fans don't make mistakes, or Baltimore sports fans, Brandon, make mistakes as well. However, I cannot remember us ever costing our team a penalty that the fans, the people that paid to be there, got a bench minor for being morons and continuing to throw things. Like, I understand if you're frustrated and you're booing, or I won't understand it, but you're throwing stuff on the ice the first time. But then they did it again a short time later. How that was in any way a good idea is beyond me. And for them to throw the wristbands that were used as part of the pregame ceremony to honor their deceased owner, who loved the team, is an embarrassment and is appalling. And if I am a fan of the Flyers, not a Philly sports fan, because not everyone that is a Flyers fan necessarily lives in Philly or in its suburbs. So let's not go crazy to equate those. I mean, there is a stigma with Philadelphia sports fans. I mean, your football team, that stadium does have its own jail cell. So there's, you know, something to think about there.
They booed Santa. They booed a guy who got his neck broken in a football game. At a Phillies game, they booed a dog for dropping a Frisbee in between innings. It's kind of your thing, Philly.
I mean, yeah, it's a little bit of a stigma. I guess it is a little bit of their thing. But the fact that they did that, and they used a thing that was to celebrate and remember the passing of the team owner, someone who loved the team. It wasn't like a guy who was stuck having the team there and didn't want them there. This is a guy who loved the team, loved having it in Philly. And the fact that they used that is just a complete embarrassment. And if I am a Flyers fan, I am embarrassed for the behavior of the people that were at the game last night. And it was not everyone at the game. Let's not go crazy and say that it was everyone there. But it was a significant portion. And for the people that are throwing it at players, just because you pay a certain amount of money to be at a game does not give you the right to attack, I guess technically attack physically, the people that are on the ice. Just because they're there for your amusement doesn't mean you get to throw things at them.
When you buy a ticket,
they're not there to do what you say.
Right. When you buy
a
ticket,
for you.
They don't. They don't. As much as people want to say, I bought your house, I did this, I did that for the players, you didn't. You bought a ticket. The right that you have is to leave if it's not going your way. That's the right you have.
You earn the right to enter the facility, but you have to obey the rules of the facility. Just because I bought tickets to go ice skating at the Rockville Ice Arena doesn't mean I get to go the opposite direction that everyone else is going. I follow the rules that are set. The same thing goes for the fans. Just because I buy a ticket to a Caps game, it does not mean that I get to go in there and start cursing at players and stuff when there's a bunch of six-year-olds sitting in front of me or behind me. It's not appropriate. It's not right. And it's what you shouldn't be doing. So for the fans to act the way they did, it's one thing if you go in there and start cursing. Maybe my example wasn't great because it's reality. We're adults. We swear, goddammit. It's the things we do. We say bad words sometimes. It's how we express ourselves. But to throw the wristbands on the ice was just unbelievably stupid and a gigantic embarrassment. And the fact that the PA announcer had to basically beg and plead with you to stop what you're doing and continue doing it, it's pathetic. That's what it is. It's a pathetic and disgraceful behavior and display by the Flyers fans. And it was a complete embarrassment. And you could see that even the players were embarrassed. The players were embarrassed to have to deal with this kind of nonsense. And the fact that it put them down a man, it's pathetic. And I thought it was funny that the Flyers came out and said that they're not going to give out wristbands for the next game. No kidding.
Oh, yeah,
I don't think you want to give out anything. Whatever you get out better be freaking lightweight, featherweight. So if they try and throw it, it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, they're all going to get like Nerf balls or something like
that. Do not give them a projectile.
Well, I saw the gif of Ovechkin and Wayne Simmonds kind of being like, come on, like throwing their hands up in the air, telling the fans to stop throwing things. I understand you're angry. I understand you're down 3-0 in the
series. It's a sporting event.
It's a sporting event. And
like, it's not your life. It's an escape. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but it's an escape from your real life. You know, if I go and I watch the Caps game, it's not, even though it's going to affect you emotionally in some way, shape, or form watching sporting events, it's not your real life. It's their real life. You have to go to work. If you're old enough, you have to deal with your children. And to be able to come back to them and say, yes, that was my behavior, is embarrassing. Now, I mean, maybe it's because I work with kids, and so I always kind of have to be on my best behavior and set a good example. But, I mean, there's no better word right now than it's pathetic. It was a pathetic display of human behavior.
It was. And you know what? If you were a Flyers fan and you were there and you threw stuff, or even if you're sick of the way the Flyers are playing, because
I would love to hear the defense in that behavior. I would love to see who can come up with that BS.
I would like to hear that as well. But if you really wanted to make an impact, then tomorrow's game, don't buy a ticket to it. That's all you're going to do. You know, if you ever want to make an impression on a organization, just don't support it. You know, it's all in dollars and cents, and I know throwing something onto the ice might seem like a good idea at the time, but it definitely wasn't. It made the team look bad, the organization look bad, made your town look bad, and people are
and you really got a goal. Let's remember this fact, though. How is it that the Caps got 5 power play goals last night, and none of them were in a 5-on-3? What the hell? Why can this team not score in a 5-on-3?
that I don't know. I don't know.
I don't freaking get it.
A lot of Flyers fans are saying, oh, the refs are calling calls on the Flyers and not the Capitals.
Like Ryan White?
Yeah.
It was Ryan White of the Flyers came out and said that the refs are favoring the Capitals because everyone wants to see them move on. And I thought Russian Machine actually did a great job of pointing it out that the teams had the exact same penalties. Not penalties, but penalty minutes and amount of penalties. With the difference being the Flyers had 10 more penalty minutes because Ryan White, the moron, got a 10-minute misconduct. So that's why they had 43 penalty minutes as opposed to 33 that the Capitals have. So you take that stupidity away. It's the exact same, you jackass. They are the exact same penalties. So for him to come out and say something like that, and this is the guy that goes out of his way to lay an extra hit, to do an extra cheap shot, to try and injure somebody, and he has the audacity to say something like that, it's ridiculous.
I'm right there with you. I'm not disagreeing with you at all.
I'm getting fired up. You can tell I'm cursing. I'm going to punch someone, and then the guy's going to come into the room and be like, sorry, sir.
This is the most I've ever seen you fired up, I think.
The thing that pisses me off with games that we saw, and we didn't really see it last year with the Islanders. We kind of saw something like that with, was it Clutterbuck or someone from the Islanders before the end of the regular season, where he was saying he wouldn't want to be in the Capitals' shoes right now. Like, he would not want to have all that pressure on him. I'm sorry. Aren't you playing a professional sport? You're supposed to be able to handle the pressure, you pansy. You don't want to be having the best record in the NHL and have a lot of people thinking that you're a good team. You'd rather be on a team that struggled to make the playoffs and might be able to win your first round series. Okay, sure. You can go ahead and stay in the back. That's why you are not as good of a player as you probably could be, because you don't have the drive. That's why you see players like Ovechkin and Crosby and Stamkos and Malkin and Backstrom and all these big level Datsyuk and Kane, even though he's a douchebag, and Jonathan Tate, these guys who are top name players because they have that drive and desire to be the best. And this guy apparently doesn't have it. And there's a guy like Ryan White who's whining because he thinks the Caps are getting favorable calls. You've had the same amount of power plays, you idiot. You're dumb. And you don't get to play if you're going to be dumb.
Well, here's my thing. Game one, Brooks Orpik gave the Flyers pretty much a free pass in the first period. Three penalties all on Brooks Orpik the first time around. So the Flyers were up, 5-4 for a good chunk of time for the first part of the game. If you can't convert on those power plays and you can't score on Braden Holtby, that's not the ref's fault. That's your fault.
They don't give you more because you suck.
So this series got out of hand real quick, and I mean, I'm a little shocked that it is 3-0 right now, because I think we were talking, I definitely said it last week, this was going to go to seven games. I
thought so too. I was thinking 6 or 7.
But it looks like the Flyers, I mean, I'm not trying to what's the phrase, count my chickens before they're hatched or anything like that, but the Flyers, they look tired, they look lethargic, they look like they are ready to go home, because they played playoff hockey for a month and a half before now, and they're pretty tired. You can tell they're not skating like they were in the regular season. They don't have that drive. They're just kind of going through the motions. You said it on the Facebook Live video you did over the weekend. I said it while I was watching the game. I was bored during game two, because I was like, this feels like a regular season game that means nothing. I mean, the Caps are playing well, they're winning, but I'm bored because nothing's going on. And then I said, I'm happy about that, because I would much rather be bored than to have the Caps down by 2 goals or something like that and fighting for their way back. This has been a weird series. This has not felt like the Stanley Cup playoffs for the Caps.
It didn't the first game, and I would say the first two periods in the second game. The third period, I felt like they just kind of shut things down, and they weren't letting the Flyers really get a lot of great opportunities. And in the third game, it definitely felt like a playoff game in the beginning, and then the Caps just ran away with it. And then it just became an embarrassment on the part of the Flyers and their fans. And to some extent, I'm wondering how much energy the Flyers players are going to have for this next game, or if they're like, you know what, we're done. This is just ridiculous.
I wouldn't want to fight for the fan base, given the way they acted.
Well, this is why they're fighting for their opportunity to keep playing. And there's going to be the opportunity. The first 10 minutes on Wednesday are going to be huge, because the Flyers are going to come out, and not as a pun, but they're going to be flying. They're going to come out and they're going to want to push as hard as they can, especially in the first 10 minutes, because if they lose, they're done. It's over. It's not like, oh, well, we lost the game, we're going on to the next one. Your next game is September. But you don't have any more.
Here's my question about that, though. Do they want to continue to play? I think they're done.
Of course they do. I mean, I don't know about Ryan Weiss, since apparently he's a pansy, but the other guys, I imagine, are professional athletes, and they're going to want to keep playing. They want their season to continue. They feel like, I mean, if you're a professional athlete, you go into every season more or less feeling like I'm the best, or not I'm the best, but we have the best team. We're going to fight for the Stanley Cup and have a chance to play there. And I feel like the players are going to do it. If they're not going to play for the fans, they're going to do it for themselves. It's not every fan. It's not all the Flyers fans, but the ones that were there on Monday, wow.
I think.
What else can you say?
I know. I don't want to jinx the Caps or anything like that, but I feel as if what we've seen from the
Flyers. Come on, Brady. How dare you?
I'm sorry, but I feel as if the Flyers have kind of shown all they got. Claude Giroux has been, like, non-existent in this series. I haven't heard his name maybe once, maybe twice in this entire series.
He's got no points.
He's doing nothing.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, Wayne Simmons, you know, he got taken out by Tom Wilson. Nothing. I'm really.
He did smarten up, though.
Yeah, I mean, he did do that. But I think this is it. I think the Flyers are tired. I don't think they want to play past this next game. I pray that the Caps get out of Philadelphia okay if they do win game four, because who knows what the fans will do at that point.
They can't get to the players.
We'll see. We'll see. Maybe they storm the locker rooms. Well, I don't know. But let's talk about what happened in Game 3. Brooks Orpik, he took a hit to the boards. Didn't look good. He fell right down. He needed some help getting off the ice. We're pretty sure it's a concussion. They've already ruled him out.
Well, we're speculating. They're saying it's an upper body injury. He looked completely out of it.
He did.
They're saying his head hit the glass, and then he looked like he had no clue where he was.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying concussion. It looks like a concussion. But he's definitely not playing in game four. If the Caps were to win game four and they have a week and a half off, you might see him in the second round. But again, professional sports leagues are not playing with concussions. You know, they're going to wait until he's completely 100% okay to play. We saw that in Pittsburgh with Marc-Andre Fleury, how he's not playing due to a concussion. But what does this mean for this team going into game four, a potential sweeping, clinching series game here? What does it mean to lose Brooks Orpik at this moment?
I think he's a very solid veteran presence, and I think to lose him is going to hurt the team, especially playing as a team that's fighting for their season and is clearly a very physical team. So I think it's going to be a tough thing losing him. And my thought, and I was tweeting last night, that Mike Weber was going to be the guy to get the jersey, and he'd be the one to come in. But at practice today, it seemed like Chorney was back and playing with Orlov. So it'll be interesting to see who gets the jersey tomorrow night. But, I mean, when Orpik went down, the team was still playing well. So depending on how long it looks like Orpik is going to be out, it could be that he, you know, if they're able to go in tomorrow and win, then maybe they do have some time to get him back. And it's just one game that he misses. And let's hope that it's just one game.
Yeah, let's hope that's it. Brooks Orpik, though, like you said, veteran presence. I agree with you there. We saw what Taylor Troney can do in Brooks Orpik's absence. I he did a great job, you know, as Orpik missed, you know, almost half the season this year. So I like Taylor Troney. But Mike Weber, I agree with you. That's kind of I would put him in there. He's a bigger guy. If the Flyers are going to play dirty and they're going to be going for big hits, I think you want a bigger guy like Mike Weber in there. The guy who boarded...
Weber takes dumb penalties, so that's the one concern.
He does. The guy who boarded Dmitry Orlov, he is suspended for...
something Belmar.
Belmar, yeah. Pierre-Edouard Belmar.
I got part of it right. I was a little correct. I was in the vicinity of his name.
Yeah, he's suspended for one game, so they're going to lose him for this one game. But here's my question, though. This guy gets suspended for one game, but that boarding call on Mike Weber a couple weeks ago, he didn't get a game. He got nothing. I'm a little surprised that he even got a one-game suspension because, like we saw a month or so ago, Mike Weber, he got nothing. And I thought that looked like a worse hit than the one on Orlov.
Well, the one on Orlov, no, I don't know about that. The one on Orlov was pretty bad because Orlov was already down. You hit him in the numbers. He's going head first into the boards, tweaks, you know, he's kind of like, his neck gets all messed up. That was pretty bad. And to see Orlov not only be able to come off the ice, but then play later in the game, a lot of credit to him for being able to come out there. And so I was very impressed with Orlov's ability to stick around. I'm glad to see he was okay. But yeah, that was definitely I don't know if Belmar's a dirty player. I don't imagine that's necessarily the case. I just think it was a bad hit.
Did you see him after the play?
What was he doing?
He actually, he pushed Orlov into the wall. Orlov's down. And then he kind of, not in a comical way, but he kind of, shrugs his shoulder, oh, I didn't mean to do that. That looked bad. And then he stood over Orlov to make sure he was okay. He was actually checking on him and kind of being like, you know, can you get up?
Yeah, he was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
He screwed up. You know he screwed up. And he's like, well... crap.
So maybe he should get out of Philadelphia if he's going to be concerned about other people.
Go to a team whose fans don't throw stuff on the ice. That's my suggestion for you, sir. No, I mean, he did the right thing. He made sure Orlov was okay. I'm sure there's usually, like, players, when things like that happen, tend to contact the other person afterwards to be like, hey, are you okay? I'm sorry about that. That really wasn't what I was intending to do. I don't remember mentioning this guy's name during around the NHL to say that, you know, he got suspended for something else during the regular season, or, you know, so it doesn't sound like he's someone that's a repeat offender or done something stupid before.
Right.
So my guess is he just, you know, he maybe let his emotions run high, or he just wasn't paying, I don't know, I don't want to say he's paying attention, but he made a stupid mistake and he's going to sit out on Wednesday for it. And I don't know who they're bringing in, so that'll be interesting. But I mean, the Flyers, I was a little surprised that a guy like Gudas didn't even get anything for the fact that he just tried to mug. I mean, he tried like a street fight against Andrei Burakovsky on that play. And I'm pretty sure Burakovsky didn't do anything to involve Gudas coming up and just like throwing haymakers at him for no reason. That guy is a douchebag.
And how can you go after Andrei Burakovsky?
Like, he's going to go after, like, you're a big tough guy going after the sophomore goal-scoring winger who doesn't hit anybody. You're like, I'm going to get that guy. That makes me tough. No, you pansy. And you know what? A lot of credit to Tom Wilson. He's behaved himself this series.
He has. He really has.
I'm very surprised. You feel like he would have been like, after that, he just looks at someone and goes, you, and just goes after somebody. But no, he's behaved himself.
We saw, it was, I think, game two, might have been game one, where there was a questionable hit on Mike Richards, and Wilson wanted to go after him, and Richards actually held him back, was like, nah, man, don't do it. It's all good.
Yeah, because he knew. Oh, yeah, speaking of Richards, let's give a nice round of applause and an award to Mason for that nice dive on the Richards hit from the other night.
Yeah, that was a beautiful... That was,
like, Richards hit him. Yes, fine, whatever, deserve the penalty. But for then Mason to be like, oh, I have been shot. What the hell was that? That was unbelievably bad. Like, that is a terrible fall in a film. So for you to try and pull that off in real life is just so embarrassing.
I'd like to thank the Academy.
Yes, thank you for my... I love you all. Thank you so much for honoring me, you freaking pansy, with that fall. That was pathetic.
The Best Actor Award goes to... this is at the NHL Awards.
We're going to call it the Steve Mason Dive of the Year. That's the thing, though. Like, if that wasn't really a dive because he got hit, but he over-exaggerated. Like, he could have been like, oh, it just fell back. But he was like, it looked like he was like Jack Bauer took him out with a sniper round. And he was just like, but, and down.
Chris Kattan used to do this really funny thing on Saturday Night Live, and it was weird because it was Saturday Night Live on Thursday nights, which still baffles me that actually happened.
Oh, yeah, I remember they did
it. It would be like Weekend Update after Friends or something, and it would be Saturday Night Live just doing something quick on Thursdays, but they were talking about how Tiger Woods tore his ligaments playing golf, and they're like, now Chris Kattan is here to show us how that happened. He's dressed as Tiger Woods, and he holds his hands up in the air and goes, I am the best golfer in the... Ow, my ligaments! And then just falls to the ground. That's pretty much what we saw.
Mason's whole thing was pathetic, and that was an embarrassment. And the fact that the game was nationally televised, not a great thing for non-hockey fans to see. Not a great representation of the sport of hockey.
Dude's not having a good series at all. I mean, we saw the softy he let in from Jason Chimera from center ice, pretty much.
He let in Kuznetsov's goal.
Yeah, it's been a bad game. So let me ask you, with this being a series deciding game coming up, do we see former Capital Michael Neuwirth in net?
He gave up, what, 6 goals? I think Neuwirth's in tomorrow night.
You think so?
I don't know. I don't see how he has the coach's confidence. Let's see how the coach has confidence in him right now. I think we see Michael Neuwirth come in on Wednesday night to try and save this season. I think the Caps get a nice run at him. Not literally, but, you know, they take it to him and try and test him. He hasn't played in a while, and then they see what they can get out of him. But I think it's a tough call. And I think it's a bit of a shot at Neuwirth if you don't have the faith in him after what Mason just gave up. Now, it wasn't just Mason. I mean, the players were not helping him out at all. But, I mean, he gave up that one to Chimera. He fumbled the puck to Kuznetsov. And then he gave up – I mean, I don't know if it was a softy. I mean, Ovechkin does have a pretty hard shot. But he gave up a goal to Ovechkin that I'm pretty sure he could have saved. So it was pretty ugly.
So what do the Capitals do? Do they change up their game at all with Neuwirth coming in? Do they change it up at all? Do they change the game plan, or is it same as always?
You make little adjustments as you go along and see other guys are playing. They're going to have a new defenseman in because Belmar is suspended, so you kind of adjust for that depending on who that player is and what their skill set may be. And you make minor adjustments here and there, and you play the game. And you have to make some adjustments because Orpik is out, and so you're going to be adjusting some guys' minutes, and a guy like Nate Schmidt might be getting more minutes than he's accustomed to or was getting throughout the first three games. And you go from there. But I think right now the momentum is all with the Capitals, and they're going to come out, and they have to withstand that first 10 to 15 minutes from the Flyers and just be able to keep the score close. Even if you give up one like last night, you keep the score close. And if you can, then you have a good shot of ending this thing on Wednesday night.
All right. So anything else we should cover in Caps world?
Well, the team got 5 power play goals, which is a team record in the playoffs. So that's pretty amazing. And for the first time in franchise history, they're up 3-0 in a series. This organization has never been up 3-0, apparently, in a National Hockey League series. So that is pretty cool. Also a little embarrassing. But, you know, we'll go with cool right now. But, yeah, I mean, the Caps are rolling right now. We got Holpe got a little tweak of an injury today in practice. Some idiot ran into him, whatever that is. I hope he got a whooping. You're trying to point a Holpe on the thing. It's not working. So we're hoping he's going to be okay. Our guest from Saturday night's show, or the post-game reaction, Amanda was just texting me saying that she's worried if it's an injury to his knee and if that's going to affect him mentally during the game. So let's hope it's nothing big. It's a small thing and that he's okay.
He was seen walking around after practice, so it seems like it's not a big deal. Apparently Tom Wilson winked and said okay, kind of mouthed okay to some of the Comcast Sportsnet guys at practice. So maybe he's all right. Maybe it was just something like we saw last week with TJ Oshie. The coach was like, no, get out of here.
Someone looked at him funny. He was like, get off the ice.
Can't have that here.
You are not allowed to get hurt.
That's what I hope
it is. Get the bubble wrap. Let's keep him safe.
All right. Well, if that is it for what's going on in Caps world, we are going to take a quick break. But before we go to down on the farm, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck?
What the Puck
is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Everybody's going into the postseason in the Caps organization. That is pretty awesome. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Not only are they all going into the postseason, but they all won their respective divisions.
Wow, that is awesome.
So that is actually pretty impressive for an organization. But in the past week, Hershey finished up their regular season going 2-1 with a win over Lehigh Valley and a Vitek Vanacek backstopped win over Wilkes-Barre Scranton. I thought it was pretty cool that they gave the kid a little cup of coffee and a victory in the AHL, where he will likely be playing next season. The Bears, as we said, won the Atlantic Division with a record of 43-21-12, good for 98 points,
wow.
3 ahead of second-place Providence. The Bears opened up their fight for the Calder Cup on Friday in Portland, with Game 2 being in Portland on Saturday. In other Bears news, Riley Barber is the first Bears rookie since the 2005-06 season to score 25 goals and 50 points. So that's pretty cool for that kid. He's going to be making his way to D.C. in the, I'd say, next couple of seasons. And also congratulations are in order for Chris Bork, as he was named the Les Cunningham AHL MVP. Brandon, did you get his guard note?
No.
Okay, well, we've got to find it on eBay. We'll see what we can do. Yeah. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays opened their Kelly Cup playoffs, leading the series 2-1 against Kalamazoo. Game 4 is on Thursday. Game 5 is Saturday. Game 6, if necessary, is Sunday, with Game 7, also if necessary, will be on Tuesday. All of those games are in South Carolina. That's what's going on down in the farm.
Yeah, $15 you can get that gnome right now. That's actually not bad.
Wait, for real?
Yeah.
All right, where's my eBay app?
$5 to ship, but still. It's a buy.
Do they have the Nathan Walker Snow globe.
Let me look that up. So let me ask you real quick about the Vitek Vanacek call up. Do you think that was just them kind of going like, hey, good job in South Carolina? Or were they checking him out to maybe bring him up for the Hershey Bears next year? Like, why that one game?
I think they did that because it was the last game of the season. It didn't mean anything because they already won the division. And South Carolina wasn't playing that night. And they're like, you know what, kid? You did a good job. You're going to go play for Hershey for one game.
All right. That's pretty cool. All right, so that's what's going on down on the farm. Go Bears. Go Stingrays. Let's win all the trophies. That's what we're going to do this
season. Bring them all in. Come on. We got space.
Let's do it.
Or don't. I have no idea.
Yeah, we better. All right, that's it for Down on the Farm. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, Down on the Farm is over. We are going around the NHL. We are talking about the Stanley Cup playoffs. Things are getting heated between Tampa Bay and Detroit. The Penguins and the Rangers are beating each other into oblivion. Lots of stuff going on. I think everything I thought was going to happen pretty much has not, and it's gone the reverse way in the West. Coach Dan, catch us up. What's going on around the NHL?
Yeah, like you were saying, let's start with the Stanley Cup playoffs. We're in the East. The Islanders have a 2-1 lead over Florida. Tampa is up 2-1. Over Detroit. So far, you and I are over two. We're off to a great start. Pittsburgh and the Rangers are tied one game each. They're actually playing as we speak. I'm trying to look at the scores. Let's see. Let's go over to the West, where Dallas is up 2-1 over Minnesota. St. Louis is up 2-1 over Chicago. A little bit of a surprise there. San Jose is up 2-1 over LA. And in a shocker, Nashville is up 2-0 over Anaheim. That I did not see coming, and we will not talk about who scored the winner in game one. Let's not worry about that. Okay? Not to mention it, he didn't actually technically shoot the puck. He made a pass and redirected off of someone's skate.
Technicality.
Technicality. Currently, Tampa Bay is up 2-1. It doesn't matter because it's a podcast. I don't know why I'm saying this, but because by the time you listen to this game, it'll be over. But Tampa's up 2-1 on Detroit with about 40 seconds left to go in the second. Pittsburgh and the Rangers are tied up at 1 after 2. And then St. Louis, Chicago play later. Anaheim, Nashville play as well later tonight. I'm surprised the Islanders have that kind of a lead considering how Florida's played in the regular season. Tampa, I think we underestimated Tampa in the beginning. I think we have to give them a little more credit. Yeah. We thought with Stamkos being out that they were going to suffer more, and it doesn't appear to be the case. Or maybe it's just Detroit crap in the bed. But the fight that happened after their game, did you see Mike Green just go diving in?
Head first.
And then just become like, yeah, he's like, hey, guys. It's just piling on. Dog pile. And then he just ended up getting like beat up. And I was like, you're an idiot. Like, yeah, that was stupid.
He was Belushi in Animal House.
If you're going to dive in, maybe think about where you're going first and not just kind of like do a wrestling splash dive off the top rope and just hope for the best. I don't remember if that's what that was called, but it was, he wasn't too bright on that one. It looked a little silly doing it. Pittsburgh and the Rangers, I'm not that surprised with it being 1-1. I think that one's going to go longer series,
which could be good for the Caps.
Actually, didn't I say that was in 5? I guess I was wrong there.
I think I said seven.
It still could, but I think that they're going to end up going longer. Dallas, Minnesota. I'm actually surprised Minnesota won a game. Hey, Detroit just tied it up. Told me to shut up. St. Louis, Chicago. Were we a little surprised there?
I am. I'm very surprised.
If St. Louis wins this game, Chicago's in some trouble. And definitely San Jose, LA.
A buddy of mine from
LA going all the way. You're in trouble.
I know. I had LA going all the way to the finals. I have no idea what's going on with them. I had a friend who is a big St. Louis fan. He's been watching since he was a kid, and he says the Blackhawks always beat the Blues. He was like, it is such a bad time to have them in the first round because they always beat the Blues. But the Blues seem to have figured out the Blackhawks play here. They're doing really well. I'm a little surprised there. That's really surprising, actually.
Now, I mean, we've seen this before where Chicago goes down and fights their way back, so the series is far from over. But it is a little shocking that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's pretty much the series as they are right now. So, they got plenty of games to go, though it'll be interesting. I'm telling you, if Anaheim gets knocked out, Boudreaux's out.
I kind of agree with you.
I think
at this
I read
point.
He threw his players under the bus after game two.
He pulled an Adam Oates?
Not a great plan there, Bruce. Not a good idea.
I know he's switching up goalies. I don't know if he thinks that's the cure, but. Bruce, it might be riding off into the sunset at this point.
I think he's if they get knocked out, it's over. That's my guess. I think he's done.
All right. Anything else going on around the NHL?
Yeah, I looked for some notes, but I didn't feel like looking anything up. No, I mean it's pretty quiet. Everything's about the Stanley Cup playoffs right now. I mean, I didn't see anything else. The Senators brought in Mike Yeo, but I don't really like to speculate and talk about who might get a job. Unless it's about the Capitals, I think we're just really more just we report the news as it actually happens. I think it's interesting for anyone to hire a head coach right now. I'd wait.
Yeah,
I mean, there aren't a ton of openings, and there could be more that pop up. So there might be more guys that come on the market. So you don't want to go for a coach, get them, and then see someone else pop up on the market that you would rather have had and be like, oh crap, because you're not going to fire that guy you just hired because then you look even worse. And then you're less likely to get the guy you wanted because he's like, well, I'm not coming to your organization. You guys are crazy. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see some teams wait to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'd wait. That makes perfect
sense. Unless there's someone out there that a bunch of people are talking to, then someone's going to make a move quickly. But aside from that, I wouldn't be surprised to see a couple of teams wait to see who is actually available.
All right, before we end things tonight, we should bring up what's going on over in Russia with the KHL.
You can do. He doesn't care.
Former captain.
You know who I'm talking about.
Alex Semin wins a giant award. He goes on to win the Gagarin.
Really a giant award.
Well, if in Russia it is.
Is it really a giant award?
I don't know how to say this. Is it Gagarin?
Good. I don't know. Ask Russian machine.
Their version of the Stanley Cup. Their version of the Kelly Cup, I guess. Maybe.
No, it's their Stanley Cup.
Their Stanley Cup. And again, I can't pronounce the name of his team. Metallurg
Magnigorskik?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
I don't know.
Well, Alex Semin.
I'm holding up my Alex Semin jersey right now that I got on eBay.
Alex Semin and that team won the KHL's biggest award. And the other cool news, I thought we had to bring this up, is that the draft pick for the Capitals last year, 19-year-old goaltender Samsonov.
Ilya Samsonov.
Is it Ilya? I think so.
I think it's Ilya.
He was a backup. He won 9 games with that team this year in the KHL, and he's hoisting the trophy as well. So he's going to have the same KHL award as Alex Ovechkin and Nick Backstrom. Think about that.
No, I do think it's pretty cool that he has the opportunity to go out there and be in, even though it is the KHL, you still have a kid that was able to go in these high stressful situations. I think that's a good thing for his development. I think this is another goaltender that's going to be coming along in the system that will continue to help this team. I mean, you have Holpe. He's your backstop for the foreseeable future. Then you have Grubauer. You're going to move him in a season or two, and you're going to get some draft picks or some players or somebody that can come in when probably you're moving on from Justin Williams. Then you have Vanacek, who may be coming up at that point and ready to be the backup, and then you move him out when he shows that he might be a capable NHL goaltender, and you bring in pieces for moving him. Then you have Samsonov. Maybe by the time Samsonov is ready, Holpe's a little older, you decide that Samsonov is really your go-to guy. So I think this is a great thing for the organization to have goaltender after goaltender after goaltender who are coming up through the system and ready at different times. It was a problem having Holpe, Varlamov, and Neuwirth already at the same time. Then you're struggling to get them in, so you're struggling to showcase them to move them out for a trade. So to have these guys one after the other but not at the same time, I think helps in terms of the trade value as well as your opportunity to continue to have them progress and not miss time. So to have this kid go in and have the opportunity to play, I like it. I got no problems with it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think this is good. This is good development for him. It's good. It's a good draft pick for the Capitals. It's good. He'll be getting the KHL's highest honor, even though he was the backup. But still, he's playing his heart out here, 19 years old, and he's already hoisting the biggest cup over in Russia. That's a big deal. That's a really big deal. So, all right, I think that's pretty much it for the show. So we got everything covered, you think?
I don't know. If not, we'll just do it in tomorrow's post-game recap thingy.
the instant reaction, which, by the way, yeah, go ahead.
Go on. I was just saying the same thing you were.
Let us know if you guys are digging that, because we'll continue.
Next time I'll actually announce I'm going to do it before I do.
Yeah. Please do that. But
I kind of forgot to do that last time. I was like, oh, what's this button do? Oh, we're live. Oh, crap. Bye, Will.
Yeah, we're still learning how to use the Facebook Live stuff. I think it's going over really well, though. I'm a big fan of that idea of doing an instant reaction.
So I told you my problem with it.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed having two fans, not that you and I are not, but two other fans on, even though Amanda was off screen, but having them there to talk about the game as opposed to me just getting a recap. I thought that was kind of fun. The problem is I don't have anyone who's willing to be on camera tomorrow.
Well, I'd like
to have it if I could, like, you know, like you call in and like there's, you know, they're in the upper little corner or something. And then I would, like, you know, because I have a friend who he texted me after the video came out and he's like, hey, how come you have me on the show? And so, like, it'd be cool if I could have someone do that. But I don't think the girlfriend would want to be on.
Yeah. Well, I think we might try Google Hangouts maybe as we get closer. I don't even know what to say at this point. I think if the Capitals can get past the Flyers and we move on to the semifinals, then maybe we'll try Google Hangouts so it'll be a little bit more interactive with, like, having other people on the show. But right now the Facebook Live stuff is good because you guys can talk to us straight from your Facebook page. So you guys, even though you can't be on...
Yeah, that part's cool.
You can't be on video-wise, but you can still talk to us and text us and everything. So that's cool. So I had a couple people tell me, you know, what was going on with Orpik because I was missing the after show of the game because I was doing the instant reaction. But I really dig that, guys. So if you guys want to continue the conversation, be a part of our instant reaction shows, our Facebook page is facebook.com/WTP podcast, 2 P's in that. So make sure you like us over there, follow us there. So whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know, and you can be a part of our instant reaction shows on Facebook Live. It is pretty cool. Let us know what you guys think of it. We dig it. So if you guys want to continue the conversation, not on Facebook Live, but on Twitter, you can do that. All you got to do is tweet to either Coach Dan or I or both, because we are friends. We do follow each other. You can follow me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people follow you at?
I can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also sometimes, occasionally, probably not really, but you find some of my old stuff over at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which, Brandon, have you gotten any more?
I want that gnome. Buy me that $15 gnome.
I want that gnome. I just tried to get the Nathan Walker, what's it called? The snow globe, yeah. But... we couldn't agree on a price, so that's not going to happen.
Did you lowball the dude? You lowballed the dude, didn't you?
No, I did it first, and then we tried to come match in the middle, and they were like, no, I'm not going to beat this. And I was like, you know what? No, thanks. I'm not willing to spend that much.
That's what ticks
me
off. We were
off by like $2, and I was like, no, not doing it. So, yeah, that's somehow CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon... Why don't you tell us about Brando Cash Entertainment?
Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. Whenever What the Puck or any of the other podcasts we do comes out, you will be the first to know. Like I said, Facebook.com/WTP podcast. Like us over there. Whenever we do an instant reaction Facebook Live video, you can check it out right there. Follow us on Twitter as well at WTP_podcast. We're always putting out some cool facts, videos, photos, all the kind of stuff that we find interesting about the Capitals, the NHL in general. We will post there as well. So, guys, we do this show for free. You listen, you stream, and you download on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, and now Google Play Music. From what I understand, you can only stream. You cannot download on Google Play Music yet. But Google said this is, you know, how they're kind of slowly putting stuff out. That just got launched yesterday, guys. Google Play Music.
I didn't even know we were on there or right. How we got on there.
I got connections. That's how it happens.
Nicely done, Brandon.
Thank you. Google Play Music, though, is finally featuring podcasts. They launched their podcast section of Google Play Music yesterday. We were one of the first podcasts, and I want to bet we are the only Washington Capitals podcast on Google Play Music. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. So if you are an Android user or if you just use Google in general for Gmail and Drive and all that other cool Google stuff, Google Play Music, you can check out What the Puck on there. So we are all over the place, guys. So we make it so accessible to you. All we ask in return is to please spread the word about What the Puck. Since the show is free, we don't have advertisers. We don't get paid to do this. You guys get to listen to it for free. Let people know.
You can send us money if you want.
That would be fine. I'd be cool with that. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and Periscope. Anywhere you are social with your phone, on the web, whatever. Let people know. I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I don't throw stuff onto the ice. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that
was mean.
I know, right? So that is pretty much it for
whatever
the show.
They deserve it because they're not very nice.
All right, so let's go over the games coming up on Wednesday, April 20th. It could potentially be a series clinching, sweeping,
don't jinx it,
game for the Capitals. They are in Philadelphia up against the Flyers at 7 o'clock on Comcast Sportsnet locally, as well as on NBC Sports. Now, if needed, it could potentially go on to seven games. Let me tell you when those potentially could be, at least the day, because timing and channel is not available yet. Friday, April 22nd, Caps will be home up against the Flyers. Sunday, April 24th, Capitals will be back in Philadelphia against the Flyers. And then a potential Game 7 could come on Wednesday, April 27th, Caps back in D.C. against the Flyers. So, all right, so let's say potentially, let's just end the show on this. Potentially, if the Capitals were to defeat the Flyers tomorrow, that means they would have a week off, because that means the opponent could be going seven games, which means they could have a week off. So if the series ends on Wednesday, potentially the first game for the semifinals could be next Friday. Is that a good thing for the Capitals to have that long of a break?
A little bit. I think with the Orpik injury and Holpe, depending on what he did today, having that break may not be the worst thing because you're giving these guys a chance to heal. But having that much time off, it takes you out of your, momentum, obviously.
We saw what happened at the Blizzard. Remember that? Remember that big Blizzard?
I mean, you lose your, what is the word? I can't think of the word right now. But you lose where you're at. You lose all of the little nuances of the game that you were doing so well. And so, yeah, I'd be a little concerned having that much time off. But I think the injuries are a bigger concern right now. And losing those guys for a significant period of time, especially Holpe, would be a problem. So you want them to have a chance to be healthy and playing at their best, especially when it looks like your next round is going to be significantly more difficult. Given, hopefully, I would just jinx them, and that they have to make it there first.
Right. Yeah, we're not looking, too far ahead.
One thing at a time.
The focus right now is on that next game, and what? So it was 16 games to get to the 16 wins to get to the Stanley Cup. 3 down, 13 to go. That's what we're focused on. We're gonna try to make it 4 wins tomorrow.
Let's hope.
All right, guys, that's it for the show this week. Thank you for listening to What the Puck. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
Yeah.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.